But now I said that that notion of love was going to answer a question coming up. Because if you take away the law, then all of a sudden what becomes your guide for moral conduct? Because normally, I think if we took ourselves out of this argument with the Galatians and were to just ask ourselves, we said, how do I know what the right thing is to do? We said, we're always looking for a kind of a guide, a moral compass. What is it that tells us how we should behave? We say, well, we look to the law. We look to the commandments. And for us in Christ, for the Galatians in Christ, for St. Paul in Christ, Christ himself becomes the law. But you say, well, how do I do that? How do I live that out? And this is where the law of love comes in. So we're beginning to see now St. Paul answer this question, which could be kind of brewing in the back of our minds saying, okay, I realize I'm set free. I know that I'm not bound by the law. So now what? Well, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, he now gives us this new commandment. Remember from the Gospel of John, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So that's a great commandment, a new commandment that is given to us in Christ. And that's really a challenging thing when you think about it. We're going to find out just how challenging it is as he goes through to live up to that new commandment, that new obligation to love. Verse 7, you were progressing so very well. Who diverted you from the path of truth? Verse 8, such enticement does not come from him who calls you. Verse 9, a little yeast can affect the entire dough. Verse 10, I trust that in the Lord you will not adopt, a different view. May condemnation fall upon whoever it is that is unsettling you. Let me take those verses right there. First of all, verse 7, he notes that the Galatians are doing so well. He says, you were progressing so very well. Who diverted you? Remember Galatians 3 when he said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you? So again, we get these types of things where he's affirming them. You receive the faith. Why have you given it up? Remember Galatians 1. If there is no other gospel, if anyone else comes along preaching a gospel different than the one I preached, let a curse be upon him. So how is it that they've fallen from this? You who were progressing so very well. Verse 8, this enticement, he's calling it an enticement. This is somehow tempting you away. This enticement, it does not come from the one who calls you. And who calls you? You're called by Christ in faith. So this does not come from Christ. This is not authentic. This is not a true gospel, to use the language of Galatians 1 and 2. Verse 9, a little yeast can infect the entire dough, or can affect. It can infect, I suppose, too. Now, why would he say that? Because in common understanding, the common sense of Scripture, the idea of yeast is that what is a yeast? A yeast is like a mold. A yeast is a corrupting element. And so that yeast works its way in, and what happens is that it doesn't take very much, does it? And then it affects everything. So it's a small little ingredient. You might call it a small kind of a poison of sorts that has worked its ill will throughout the entire mass of the community. What's happened? A handful of people, a small introduction of a little bit of trouble has now affected the entire Galatian community such that they are now in distress. They are now left in this terrible position. So that's why he uses this idea of yeast. I do want to say, just as one sort of sidelight, do you remember a parable that Jesus said when he says, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman hides in 3 measures of dough until the whole thing becomes leavened. There is one time there where, in that parable, Jesus ironically uses this idea of yeast to describe the kingdom of God. But there are other times in the Gospels when he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, meaning the corruption, the corrupting influence. And so yeast, and you have to listen to this very carefully throughout Scripture to see, is yeast used in something that has a positive sense to it, like the parable about the kingdom of God, or in a negative sense when Jesus is warning the disciples about the yeast or the leaven of the Pharisees. In this case, it's clearly negative. It's that the agitators, the disturbers, have come in and they've affected the entire community. And it can happen sometimes just by one or two people, or by the introduction of something that may seem small, and yet it's caused great harm. Verse 10, I trust that in the Lord you will not adopt a different view, meaning you will hold firm. May condemnation fall upon whoever it is that is unsettling you. Notice he never says who it is. In one sense, that's actually very intelligent. He never names the person. You know how when you name them, you now elevate them. He says, whoever it is, and they all know what's happening here. He doesn't even say it. Whoever it is, he says, may this condemnation fall upon him. Verse 11, as for me, my brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why do the attacks on me continue? If I were, the cross would be a stumbling block no more. Now, this is a little bit of a complicated verse, so let me walk through this. He begins by saying, as for me, brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision. But is St. Paul preaching circumcision? We know that he's not. Okay. But now, why would he say that? Why would he put that in the form of a conditional, if I was still preaching circumcision? So one of the things that I think we can assume from this is that the Judaizers who came in were telling the Galatians, he says, oh, well, Paul's been around. You've heard of Jesus Christ. Very good. Let me tell you about where Jesus came from. Let me tell you about Judaism. Let me tell you about Moses. Let me tell you about the Mosaic Law. Let me tell you about circumcision. Well, Paul never told us about this. Really? Well, you know what Paul did? Well, Paul had Timothy circumcised. See, that one of the things we see when you look at other portions of the gospel, we know that there was the place where St. Paul took Titus to Jerusalem. You remember that from Galatians 2, verse 3, when Titus came along and they said they didn't require Titus to be circumcised because he was of Gentile origin. There's another part in the Acts of the Apostles where St. Paul gives in and actually does have Timothy circumcised, who has a Jewish mother, if I have that detail right. And so there was a time when Paul gave in and he actually did have someone circumcised, Timothy. But Titus, he did not. So imagine the Judaizers coming in, and isn't that like the slam dunk when you want to prove a point? Well, the Old Testament and Moses and Jesus was a Jew and he came from these things and he observed them, but St. Paul never told us to do that. Even Paul had someone circumcised. You see how they could use that fact to undermine everything that St. Paul was doing by saying, well, Paul himself has done this himself. It really takes everything Paul had done and really sort of throws it down by saying St. Paul, who seems to be so adamant, well, guess what? He's not so adamant. He gave in once. He gave in once with respect to Timothy. And then that's another passage in the Acts of the Apostles, and we could go back and look at those circumstances. But so he says, if I am still preaching circumcision, if that's what I'm doing, like you heard from the Judaizers, then why are they still persecuting me? So he set up a contradiction. Because it can't be both. If I'm preaching circumcision, they wouldn't be trying to tear me down. If I'm not preaching circumcision, then they obviously would. And what's happening? You be the judge. Am I preaching circumcision or not? Look, they're after me right and left, so I must not be. You see how he's responding, I think, to a criticism that the Judaizers probably leveled against St. Paul. Because if I were preaching circumcision, the cross would be a stumbling block no more. The cross of Christ. This gets to a theological principle that we call the scandal of the cross. The idea that the cross itself is something scandalous. What does St. Paul say about the cross? He says that it is a stumbling block to the Jews and an absurdity to the Gentiles. But to those who have been called, Jews and Greek alike, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The cross itself stands against reason, it stands against logic, it stands against what Old Testament law would say. What did Jesus do? We heard this in Galatians 3, when we talked about cursed be anyone who is hanged on a tree. What did Jesus become? He became a curse for us. The author of life was put to death. There's something that stands out as a jarring reality, and St. Paul desperately wants to preserve that. He says, you cannot explain away the cross of Christ or make it devoid of meaning. He says, and he does not want to remove the stumbling block of the cross. He wants us to have to face the fact that Jesus was crucified. If he were preaching circumcision, then the cross would be meaningless. Jesus would have died for no purpose. The cross would be a stumbling block no more. And so he is absolutely devoted to preserving our faith in Christ who was crucified. And that's the thing that stands out so significantly about Jesus Christ, about the way in which he saved us, and he saved us through the cross. Verse 12, would that those who are troubling you might go the whole way and castrate themselves. So there, St. Paul might engage in, what would you call it, a little hyperbole there? That's strong. Of course, St. Paul hasn't held back so far, has he? He's been, if you preach another gospel, a curse be upon you. He just continues to do that. So if they're so fixated and so hung up on the notion of trying to get the whole world to circumcise themselves, he says, well, just, you know, then just go the rest of the way. So it's a kind of rather graphic moment of St. Paul. And there is a little humor in that as you hear that sort of witticism that is there. But that's how strong, he is very strong on this point.